T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're gonna play.
Let's get it started, everybody. It is a Wednesday hump day, and we get it rolling with you right here on 95.7 The Game. And dare I say, producer John Curls Curly
Curls
has put together an unbelievably entertaining and fun-filled rundown today. Lo, I think this is going to be a lot of fun. We have a lot of interesting things. You know, in a time when there hasn't been actual games...
Right.
We've got some cool stuff to talk about today.
It's always pretty cool, Coz. Anytime I'm on the line with you and Daniel Dibley, the great Dibs, and John Curls, I mean, my goodness, we always make music, guys. We always make it happen.
That's right. How you doing, everybody, as we welcome you in? Joe Lo and Dibs is the program. Dan Dibley is here. Lorenzo Neal, you just heard. I am Jim Cozumore, in for Joe Fortenbaugh, and he will be back on Monday after taking a week off, a little vacation time for him. Dan, I asked you yesterday if you're buying or selling me being happy. Are you buying or selling? Today is going to be a fun show. I think we're going to have a lot of interesting things to kick around.
Yeah, selling, Jim, is the correct answer. Selling. When you open up a show with, boy, what a fun-looking rundown.
It is
good. Yeah, boy. If you consider fun the amount of grammar errors and misspells, or if you consider...
Dibs. I'm,
are we going to keep it real on a Wednesday? Are we coming in soft?
It's hump day, Dibs. Don't go so hard. It's the first segment, Daniel. Easy.
Yeah, instead of just one hump, I'm going to give Curly two humps. And
wow.
You know, my favorite part of this, quote, fun rundown is not the Ahmed Farid interview at 6:30, but it's at 6:45. Recap Ahmed Farid interview. That to me is my favorite part of this, quote, fun.
Breakdown.
It's not a rundown, Jim. It's a fun down is what it is. You're welcome.
It is a fun
good morning.
And you also add in a couple of dates that are incorrect on it, but it doesn't matter. Who wants facts? Coach,
don't start. Coach, stop. Yeah, be easy on Curls. You got on Curls. You told Curls he's got a great rundown.
He did do a great job today.
And you guys already pooped on him before the segment even ended.
Dan,
I'm pooping on Jim for daring to say, "Ooh, what a fun Wednesday! This rundown is so fun." There's bold. There's some letters in bold. There's some in normal typeface. Woo! Boy, is this fun.
I believe it's Helvetica. New nice. York Times, or New Roman, New, what is it,
Helvetica
New Roman?
Nero. Times Helvetica. New Roman, yes.
Oh,
a solid courier is fun this time of day, usually.
It certainly is. It's easier to
Dibs,
read.
Dibs, just give us some good news. How'd your bets go? The Bundesliga? What's been going on, Dibs?
Idle yesterday. Later today, we will give you the lock of the day from Werner Bremen goes today against Eintracht Frankfurt. That's 11:30 in the featured spot. We'll have that for you later this morning.
Good. Short week for both? Is it a short week for both, or did some of them have one of those two teams have the weekend off?
Jim, we prefer short week on this show.
Short week.
If you wouldn't mind looking at your vocabulary and getting things straight. What they're doing in the Bundesliga, which is really interesting, and you're going to see the NBA emulate this as I help Jim transition at 6:03, and good morning.
Well, look at you.
Is they slotted these teams to play every 3 or 4 days just to get the season in, so they kind of hurried things up. So you'll find games Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, and then your traditional Saturday and Sunday as well.
Wow. That is some kind of scheduling. And, you know, soccer players go through a lot. Their bodies go through a lot in a long season. Then they have tournaments that they play within their season. To have a season squashed together in this fashion. I wonder how their bodies are gonna take it, and I wonder how that could change not only soccer but different sports throughout the globe. Let's get it going here on Joe Lo and Dib, shall we? Or do you have more to say on the Bundesliga?
No, I had something else to say to you, Jim. I never got your take on this whole Lance Armstrong. I mean, you're talking about you're talking about being in shape and the lungs and the doping.
Yes.
You know, we never really got your perspective on that, and I'd love to hear coming from you, someone who's covered the Olympics, who have seen Lance up close and personal. Where were you at?
In the bits and pieces that I saw, I did not sit down and watch the whole documentary, but I saw bits and pieces. He was a complicated human, like everybody. He did some incredibly good things, right? Live strong, coming back from testicular cancer. But he was a ruthless SOB. He was a ruthless and at times evil SOB. He lived in a world where cheating was the norm. If you were his teammate and you cheated, you were fine. But if you were not his teammate and cheated, you were not fine. And I think that he was a pretty ruthless guy. And it came back to haunt him at one point at the end of his career. Is that a pretty fair assessment of looking at Lance Armstrong's life?
I think it is, but I think that sometimes I think people, like you just said, he was in a situation because he was so ruthless at times. Don't know if it fared well for him.
Hey, Lo. I think your connection, we're going to reconnect with you right now. Your connection kind of, it took a little bit of a curve, and so we're going to make sure we reconnect with you and get it going. Dan, you still sound beautiful as always, and let's move our show forward here. There you go. We mentioned that we're going to have Ahmed Farid on from NBC Sports. Used to work at the MLB Network. That's huge. That's at the bottom of the hour at 6:30 because we're going to talk some baseball. 7 o'clock hour, we've got some NBA conversation heading your way. It is interesting because in the NBA, they're looking at a one-site finish to the season. There were teams that had fought hard for 60-plus games to somehow gain a home court advantage. What advantage could you give these teams? If everyone's playing in the same three gyms with no fans, there's no home court advantage. So ESPN came out with a great article from Dave McMenamin regarding this scenario and what the NBA could institute to maybe give some teams a home court advantage. We'll get into that in the 7 o'clock hour. Also, 7 o'clock power hour, Peter King with his yearly one and only power ranking. We'll tell you where the 49ers are. Are they in the right spot? So that could be a good, fun topic to get into. Former NFL linebacker Lorenzo Alexander, the Cal great, he's going to join us. And then we get more NBA conversation going about LeBron James. That comes up in the 9 o'clock hour. Dan, doesn't that sound like a fun down?
Yeah, man, super fun, spectacularly fun, especially when you talk about the NBA possibly trying to jerry-rig a game scenario where it's just not, you know, going to be maybe a level playing field because we want to make sure that the home court advantage is put intact. Instead of let's just return to play, we got to come up with these crazy ideas to try to balance things out. I'm looking forward to that conversation, Jim. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, that. Why, I don't know why you have to come down on Jerry with your jerry rigging, but I will tell you that you have to make some. This is a different year, Dibs. We have to open our minds to how we're going to finish years in different leagues. And the NBA has a proposal, as does Major League Baseball. We've heard a number of different proposals. The owners had the 82 game proposal. The Players Association countered with 114. The owners countered back with a 50-game proposal, kind of a sprint to the finish. And now there's a new plan out there that the Major League Baseball Players Association is or seems to be on board with a regionalization of schedules, Dan. So the West would play the West. The Central teams would play the Central teams. The East. Do you like just keeping it? This is so unusual. Do you like just keeping it regional for this one year? And let's see what we can kind of do to try to make a playoff.
Yeah, I do like it. And I also like the idea of making baseball more regional going forward to where you abolish the two leagues. You come up with one set of rules and then you put the A's and the Giants in the same division, the Dodgers and the Angels. You throw the Padres in there for good measure. And then you geographically align teams in certain areas so that you have these regional rivalries. So it's not just, ooh, the Bay Bridge series, two games here and then two games there, and we'll see you next year. You engender actual good quality regional rivalries because at baseball's essence, it is a regional sport. We don't really care nationally until you get to the playoffs. They can Yankees and Red Sox us all they want into submission. But out here, we don't lock in on all 19 of those matchups. If it's Sunday Night Baseball, you might watch it. But if you regionalized all these divisions, I think that baseball would be able to take a huge step forward.
Dibs, when you say that, though, what are those naysayers out there say? Well, they don't do it really in football. At times you have the Raiders and the Niners at same location and really don't hit up. I know. And don't hook up all the time. So when you're saying that, though, you know, it can what do you say to those who are like, hey, look, don't you think that should be every single year should be on the schedule? But so I don't know if everyone is in that same church.
Yeah, they aren't. But when you look at the two different sports, football, not a regional sport, baseball should really rely on that regionality. And I think because baseball doesn't, baseball tries to do these interleague games. So when the Baltimore Orioles come to Oracle Park, nobody gives a crap unless the Giants are good. And when they square off with Tampa Bay and you've got that big matchup with Minnesota, these are all games that don't have as much meaning as the Giant-Dodger games do because they're rivals
right.
from back in the New York days. So when you know the Giants and Dodgers are going to play 18 times, 9 at Oracle, 9 at Chavez Ravine, those are games you get up for because it's a rivalry. It's NoCal versus SoCal. It has skin in the division as far as who's going to go to the playoffs. It makes those games more important, and I think the same would be true if you had the A's and you had the Angels. It would be more games of more import, fewer games that don't seem to matter.
All right, well, you know what? We're going to get more into that when we continue. Also, 538 is out with the question about a 50-game schedule. That's all straight ahead. Don't go anywhere. We've got a busy day. You can always join us at 888-957-9570. That same number is our text line as well, 888-957-9570. Joe Lowe and Dibs for a Wednesday hump day on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs featuring Jim Cosimore.
Yeah, I disagree at your...
Well, you're wrong!
On 95.7 The Game.
Oh, my goodness. Always reminding me of my foibles, my on-air foibles. And I don't appreciate it, Steven. Nice guy. That's not nice guy Steven-ish. That's just Steven-ish. Evil Steven. Maybe we're going to change his name to Evil Steve. Hi, everybody. Joe Lowe and Dibs is the program.
Just
I am
Steven's
Jim Cosimore. Joe Fortenbaugh is out. Just Steven? Just go with Steven?
Just Steven's fine.
Do you go with the full Steven, or you shorten it to Steve on occasion for your really good friends?
It depends. There are just people who call me Steve and some who call me Steven. I don't really have any preference for it. I don't tell people, hey, you should call me this, you should call me that. They just call me Steve or Steven, whichever one they'd like.
I like it. All right. That sounds
good.
Yeah,
I don't see this on the fun down, 6:15, Steve or Steven, but you can take it wherever you want, Cozy.
Solid conversation when people want to talk at 888-957-9570. They need to know what to call him. Okay?
It's in the bottom left. It's in the bottom left in size 7 font. Put a star next to it.
My bad. It's actually DB Steven, if you must know his real name. His real nickname.
Yeah.
DB.
Only on Wednesdays.
Yeah,
wow. This is getting rugged here on Joe Lowe and Dibs, only on a Wednesday. Hi, everybody. Welcome in. 95.7 The Game. I just wanted you all to know that this is a segment is presented by Golden State Lumber, open from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, with some locations open on Saturday. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for more information. Major League Baseball plan that is being floated out there that would be a regional-only plan, so that what that means is the West teams would play the West teams. It's my understanding, guys, that's American and National League teams. So you would see the Giants taking on the Angels, for instance. Dan, is that how you understand it? West and West in both leagues, correct?
Right, right. That's the way I've seen it. But, you know, again, there's been so many proposals thrown out by baseball, by the union. It is sometimes hard to keep track of who's foisting which proposal to whom.
I agree, and it depends on the number of games that you're going to end up playing and what it all means. For this particular season, though, I'm understanding that this is going to be an imperfect year just because of the circumstances that have been thrown at us. A pandemic has thrown everything upside down, and we've got to figure out a way to do something and make something good of it. So are you okay, even if it's something that's outside of what we would consider to be the norm for a season?
I think everyone's okay with it. I think the biggest thing for people to swallow right now is just with everything going on, they're like, okay, why are all these guys, why can't they just come up with a reasonable solution and get this thing resolved and get sports back out there for we can enjoy the sports. See, I think that right now what baseball is doing, they're letting people look underneath the hood. You love to see in a beautiful car and you love to, but you don't want to know, you know, the rings and the pistons and all those integral parts inside the motor that makes a motor. Motor can look beautiful, the big block, but what's inside there, you know, the pistons and the rings and all those things that make that engine, gives it the guts. And now people are inside and they're really not caught up in it. This is something that we haven't gotten to see, the ugly part of it, the negotiations, and it puts a bad taste in the fans and a lot of people's mouth because of the fact everything's going on. You're talking about millions and millions of dollars, and it's not reality. It's not everyone else's reality. So the perspective is skewed, and you understand why. But, you know, the reality of this thing, though, is, though, that these men and these owners, they have a job to do, and they don't want to necessarily, no one wants to give up anything. It's just like in the workforce. And so they're jockeying for a position. And this is the ugly part of it that, you know, that you wish you could keep it away from the fans and from people that are consuming baseball in this product, because now it may start taking them have to pick a side. It starts making you uncomfortable, and people just want to get their baseball back. They just want to see whatever kind of, whether it's a 50 game, an 81 game, a 114. People just want baseball. They want something out there. They want to see their players. They want to see the product. They want to see their best team, their favorite team. They want to see that. They're not caught up in all this rhetoric that's going on. I think it's taken away, and it's hurting baseball just in general.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, when you see that there's two sides that are just not even the same. You know, you talk about the same church, the same pew. You know, they're not even in the same faith right now sometimes.
Right.
It seems like they're going to completely different faiths when they try to get together, and they come at it with maybe differing views. And obviously you're going to, from the Players Association side to the owner's side. But Dan, part of it is the number of games. The 82 game schedule the owners had first put out, the 114 the players counted with, the 50 that the owners counted back with. 538 reports that a potential 50-game MLB season is not acceptable to the players. Why not? Why not have a sprint to the finish? 50 games, every game matters. You know, that's our big argument about some other sports. A lot of games just don't matter. If you had a 50-game season, wouldn't every game be must-watch?
It would be more watched as far as the urgency. But let me ask you this, Jim. Why doesn't Usain Bolt run marathons? Could he run the marathon, you think? Is he a good enough athlete to get it done? I'll go ahead and answer for you, Jim. And the answer is yes, he could, but he doesn't because it's not what he's trained to do. That's not what his body and his gifts are trained to do. He's 100.
I like where you're going here, Coach. I like what you're doing, Dibs.
I'm Dibs, and that's Coach.
I said Dibs. I fixed it. Go ahead.
I think he was playing both sides. I think he likes me too.
Dibs. Yeah, yeah.
You went out of your way to interrupt me and misidentify me, so I'll go ahead and put you into Coe's corner right now as I continue to pontificate. Usain Bolt is like baseball in reverse. Baseball's not built to have this 50-game urgency, which kind of answers the question that Lo and I were talking about last segment about, you know, football and how, why don't you have the Raiders and Niners play every year? It's just a different modality. Baseball is about the marathon. It's about the long stretch. So to try to force it into this 50-game, every game matters, that's not baseball. So if you have a bad week, if you go 1-6 over the course of a 7-game week, it's over. And that goes against the very essence of baseball, Jim.
It does go against the essence of baseball. But, guys, that's what the playoffs are. I fight a 162-game marathon to get my space into the playoffs, and then it's cutthroat. I might be in the play-in game. One game, game 163, gives you the chance to play a 5-game series, and then winning that short sprint gives you a chance to win a 7-game series. And if you win that, you get a chance for one more 7-game series. The Giants went through that, and every game you had to sit on the edge of your seat. Lo, this is, I mean, this is an unusual year. We all admit it's an unusual year. It's not something that we are going to model for the rest of time, but it's just a different scenario for the way they have to play the season out. Why not give it a try? If the players get their prorated 50-game salary and they can agree to that part of it, 50-game sprint, let's see what happens.
Because the players, they might have been born at night, Jim, but not last night. I think this is where the fundamental difference that I'm talking about, perception versus reality. The players would play 50 games, give them 50% of their – you play 50 games, so okay, if they felt they were really getting 50% of their salary or they're getting their whole salary.
50 games of salary, yeah. 50 games of salary.
They would jump at certain things, but you have to realize they want more. And the owners are saying, you know what? 50 games, I could have very strong ratings. It would still be out through the roof. I can bring this thing down, but I'm still not splitting a gate. I'm still not splitting other things. They're going to like, if they went, they're like, no, this is not advantageous for the players to do. So it's just like Dibs was talking about his same boat. He can run a marathon, but he chooses not. That's not what he's good at. So they say a fast horse run fast, but he doesn't run long. He's fast, but he doesn't run long. So I look at these baseball in the same sense that they could play 50 games, but why take chances? They want to do something where they're going to make the max amount of money. And so they would play, if the money was right, those players would play 50 games. Every single one of them agree upon it. But financially, they know that it doesn't benefit them. So this is about money. This is about money, plain and simple.
I think you're right. There's no question about that. The tough part, Dan, is if you look at the schedule, though, I'm sorry, you look at the calendar, there's only so much that you can fit in. The players with the 114-game proposal, if you can't start playing until July sometime, let's, you know, whatever date in July you want to pick the 4th of July because that's a, you know, a monumental date on the calendar, whatever you want to choose, you're just getting backed up by weather, by reality, by Mother Nature. Aren't we at a window now where we have to start figuring out a shorter season, what it would look like, and what would give us, you know, 82 games? You're right in the, that's the NBA NHL standard for a season. That's a nice little number. I don't know if it equates in baseball, but we're in unusual times right now. And isn't the calendar who we're negotiating against more than anything else?
Yeah, and also you mentioned the weather, and that certainly goes hand in hand with the calendar as you get into the fall and you start to get foul weather. But there's a number of different ways you can mitigate it. One would be utilizing the doubleheader, and we've talked about this before, Jim. Back when all of us were younger, you had scheduled doubleheaders, and those were some of the more fun games to go to. I remember going to Candlestick for many a doubleheader, including the day Ed Halicki threw a no-hitter back in 1975. It was the second half of a doubleheader, and my dad famously said, "We'll leave when old Ed gives up a hit," and of course we ended up staying for the second of the two games.
That's so awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
wow.
Just one of those times. You know, I was just about to be 7 years old. It was my brother Mike's birthday. He was 13. He got to bring his friends, and I, of course, was the tag-along with my father. So doubleheaders can certainly help mitigate some of it. You're not going to get to 115 games, in my opinion, because then you're going to have a World Series played in snow. But you can get closer to 82. You can utilize doubleheaders, and you can make this happen.
Can you move it, Dibs, to a mutual site? If it was drugged out to, you know, in the winter, the Codita heart of the winter, and it's not New York, you're right, snow. Could they put it to in a place, Dibs, where they say, hey, you know what, it's like the Super Bowl, move it to a place where they can say, this is where we're going to do the series? Or you think the home team would be feeling at a disadvantage?
They would be feeling some kind of way. Yeah, and I don't think that you can go anywhere where you're going to have necessarily weather guarantees. And so now you're looking at maybe, what, playing it indoors? You're going to Tampa Bay, they got a nice little indoor spot down there, Jim. You could have the World Series. Imagine Dodgers, Yankees from the Trop.
Hilarious. Wow. That would be hilarious. You know, it's so funny you mention that. And we have Ahmed Fareed coming on in just a minute or two from NBC Sports, a former MLB Network anchor, a good friend of ours here and a great, great guy. We had Scott Boras on a radio show years ago. And Scott Boras had inquired about a 9-game World Series. And that's what it used to be in the, you know, the turn of the century in the 1900s. It was a 9-game World Series. You had to win 5 of the 9. And he said, why not build a 9-game World Series where you have the first 3 games at the home of the team that has the advantage, the team with the better record, the middle three games at a neutral site. And that three games would be set up in a way that would be, it would be Major League Baseball's Super Bowl. You know how in Super Bowl week they've got Radio Row? You guys have been a part of Radio Row a number of seasons. That would be their opportunity to have a Radio Row scenario. That would be their opportunity to have a Super Bowl. One central location for baseball fans from all the cities and all the states to come to one place, play it in a dome down in Phoenix, Arizona, play it in a dome down in Tampa Bay, play it down in a dome down in Texas, and you've got your one location for neutral site games. And then if the series goes long enough, the final three games are at the other team's home ballpark. I found that to be an interesting scenario. I found
curious.
It to be very interesting.
I think that you'd have to flip it somehow to make sure that the road team in the first three games at least gets some home games. I know if you put the neutral site game as the last three, you may not even get there if a team wins in the first six in your scenario. But you'd have to find a way to let the lesser favored team or the underdog team get some home games.
All righty, let's move it along here on Joe Low and Dibs. I am Jim Cozumore in for Joe Fortenbaugh, 95.7 The Game. Dan Dibley is here, so is Lorenzo Neal. Let's talk more baseball with a good friend of ours. He does a great job over at NBC Sports, and we have seen him in years past on NBC Sports Bay Area here in San Francisco. But also before that, with MLB Network, our good friend Ahmed Fareed. Ahmed, I trust you and the family are safe, and everything is well back east for you.
Jim, great to hear your voice. Yeah, we are. I mean, I think we're like a lot of the country in the last couple of months here, at least, where we're in Connecticut. We've been in the house, ventured out to get some groceries, but that's about it.
Well, stay safe, and I hope everyone is doing great back there. You're doing great stuff, and you do a lot of different things over at NBC Sports Group in Connecticut. But the true love of your sports life is baseball. Major League Baseball, where it sits right now, when you see all these proposals from 82 games to 114 games to 50 games, do you have a sense or a feel for what you'd like to see? Because we're right now, Ahmed, we're arguing against the calendar more than we're arguing against each other.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think we got about a week, maybe another week, a week and a half to get a good chunk of games in. I don't know. I think for me personally, and you detailed the proposals, I'm sure, with 114 games, 82, 50, or 60 maybe is what we're at right now. For me, Jim, I've always felt like the most realistic option is fewer games, especially in this environment when you just don't know what's going to happen. You don't know. I mean, we think we've planned, and Major League Baseball did a pretty good job with outlining a 67-page report of all the safety measures that they want to take for the players, so I give them a lot of credit for that. But we just still don't know. We don't know what it's going to be like when we actually do start playing games. So for me, I think fewer games has always been more realistic, but then you've run into the potential problem of the players want to play for less money or significantly less money than they were supposed to be paid in an environment that may be a little more dangerous for them and their families. So I get it. I get how it's tough, and I think it was always going to be tough for Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I think when you look at the situation of the money, the gulf, the reports are that even if baseball is played, owners would lose a significant amount of money, you know, some 10 figures collectively, yet the players don't want to play fewer games because then they miss out on money. How do you put the dollar signs aside between these two fractured factions, Ahmed?
Yeah, Dibs, I think that is the thing that the general public would like to see. There's so many fights out there right now in a lot of different fronts that they don't want to see Major League Baseball add another one. They're just exhausted for it. And so I think if there's a way that the players and owners could come together, I think that's what the public needs right now and wants right now. But I get it. I get it from a player standpoint where they feel like, okay, to play in this environment, why don't we should have some added protections and perhaps even more money. And I will argue that the owners have, you know, the argument for ownership in this country, and it's a capitalist country, and I get it, and I think it's worked out very well for us, is that, you know, owners will make a lot of profit, but that's also because they harbor a lot of the risk and a lot of the downside risk. So I think we're seeing some of the downside risk of owning a franchise in Major League Baseball right now. And so I think to offload some of that risk, try to at least, and when times are bad, is a little disingenuous from the owner. So I don't know the ins and outs. I think it's definitely true they're going to lose a lot of money, and I understand that. And I think they should try to figure out ways where they don't have to do that. But I think the public would like to see this play out behind closed doors. Talk about it. It's not going to be won with a PR battle. Once you figure out a solution that works for both sides, then present it to the general public.
Fareed, what gives you hope that baseball will get back going this year, or will have a season, some side of a season this year? And what's your biggest fear that baseball, the biggest hang-up that you feel that it won't come back this year, and who would win?
The biggest fear, I think, Lo, is that one of the sides just sees it as not worth it. They don't need to, you know. And I don't know the specific financials and what the projections are. If you do not have a season in 2020, what that does to you in 2021, 2022, would some teams have to be sold? I really have no idea. I mean, we don't know the financials here. So my biggest worry would be that some side, whether it be the players or the owners, decides that, you know, it's just not worth it. We don't need to play in 2020, so we won't. And then we won't have a season. I'm optimistic that some baseball is better than no baseball for everyone, even if you're losing money, just to keep it nationally relevant. You know, we all saw what happened with the strike in the 90s, where they lost a lot of baseball fans, and some of those baseball fans never came back. And so I think that's a genuine concern, especially if it's seen as a sport that did not do all it could for its paying customer. If there's a lot of paying customers out there that say, we would love baseball to come back right now, we need baseball to come back, and baseball says, no, we can't do that for you, I think a lot of people will remember that and hold that against the sport for a while.
Ahmed Fareed, NBC Sports, joining us here on 95.7 The Game, Joe Lo and Dibs. And Ahmed, one of the plans that we're hearing reports from, this report from the Boston Globe, that the Players Association, they're on board for a regionalized schedule for the 2020 season. I understand this is an unusual year. Things are going to be different, whether it's 50, 82, or 114 games. It's just going to change. Is the change of just regionalizing the game for 1 year, is that pro, con? Do you like the idea, or is it just one of those, hey, it's a hurdle that we agree to, maybe it can help us agree to a couple of other things along the way?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. You don't know. You don't know when one side throws out a proposal, if they're just throwing out a proposal that's halfway of where they want to go and willing to go the rest of the way. I think that's a good point. I think that is, it sounds more realistic to me to have kind of pods around the country where you can have more controlled environments with fewer players. And then perhaps from those pods, you can take a champion and fly them at the end, you know, when we know more, hopefully in a couple more months about what's going on, fly them to a playoff site. I think there's some merits to thinking like that. And I do wonder when this is all said and done, and if the season is so much different. I mean, you know, because baseball fans are traditionalists, the biggest traditionalists out there. I try to throw out some crazy ideas sometimes, and no one wants to hear it because we just want baseball the way we've always had baseball. But I do wonder if it's dramatically different if you have these regional pods and if you have a 50-game season where basically every single team is in a pennant chase, because even bad teams can get hot for a month and a half. I do wonder how much of that, even if you think, okay, this is just 2020, how much of that people will see and say, wow, that was actually kind of fun, and maybe we should look into doing something similar to this in the future.
Looking at the local teams in that light, how much does this possibly help the Giants and hurt the A's, the idea of a short season where maybe a fluky team that isn't as successful can come out and make some noise?
100%. I think 100% it evens the playing field. You hear it all the time, right? Small sample size. And you really hear it mostly in baseball. I mean, it really exists in all sports. NFL is the truest small sample size out there. You get a couple bad turnovers at the end of game could push you out of a playoff spot when you're actually a playoff team. But we hear it most in baseball, just because it's even hard for, in 162-game seasons, even the best teams will lose 60, 70 games in a year. So it's just really hard to dominate in a sport. And so you're right. All the teams that are stacked, that are good, will have less of a chance to advance to the playoffs, and all the teams that probably would have won 50, 60 70 games, have a legit shot to get hot for a while and make a case, especially, guys, if you expand the postseason, which it sounds like the Major League Baseball wants to do.
That'd just be right. Interesting because go ahead, Coase.
Go ahead, Lowe.
When they're talking about, you know, of course, when you shorten the amount of games you play, yeah, the odds does go up because team gets hot. But when you're talking about being in a playoff, you know, it's whether when the playoff starts or teams in, don't the odds come back to better? Don't they sway back toward the better team? Because you got to be on. It's just no excuse, no matter if the better team loses or win, especially when you're playing in a series itself. Or is that just for when you're talking about just a shorter season, the amount of teams that could have an opportunity to get into the playoffs? But once the series start, is the odds not get back to normal?
Yeah, you'd think. But, I mean, you look at the Giants, and I don't know exactly what their stretch ended up to be in July, in the middle of July, but that was a significant chunk of games. That was,
right.
I think, 20 games, 25 games where they won 19 of them, 19-5. And so if you do that at the right time against the right teams, then you, theoretically you can make it pretty far into a postseason. But I think you're generally right. I agree that once you get to the playoffs that the cream
mindset
rise to the top. Yeah, yeah. But I think – you know, and it will come down to the starting pitching, all that stuff too. But it just still the fact remains that getting into the playoffs is the first step in towards winning a championship. And a lot of teams are excluded from that first step, getting into the playoffs in a regular season, where that won't be a step that's taken away from them here in a shortened season if we get that.
All right, Ahmed, before we let you go, I'll give you my my 9-game World Series plan that I'm thieving from Scott Boras.
Ooh.
The first 3 games are played at the home of the team with the best record. The middle 3 games are played at an alternate site location, dome in Arizona, Texas, Florida. And then the back 3 games, if some team has not won 5 games through the first 6, the back 3 games are at the home of the other team. It's a 9-game series, but the middle 3 games will act as the Major League Baseball Super Bowl, where fans from all over the country, all over the world, can converge on one centralized location, and they can have their radio row, they can have their, you know, superstars and Hall of Famers from all over the place be down there, kind of be their one big event that they have, that they can bring all of baseball fans together. We go to a 9-game World Series that they used to have in the 1900s.
Wow. Wow. I like it. I like the idea.
Attaboy. That's my guy.
Super Bowl. Well, I mean, I'm always up for any new crazy idea. I was the guy trying to push a 6-man lineup in a 7-inning game across Major League Baseball. So I think I'm right in the wheelhouse of a crazy idea to change the World Series. But no, I do like that a lot. The only pushback I'd have is that baseball, unlike any other sport, is really the stadiums are cathedrals, and the stadiums are so much of the story that you'd almost worry that, you know, if it was Giants and Red Sox, okay, now you're giving away 4 games in Fenway or at Oracle Park to be played in more of a generic stadium. That'd be my only concern, is that these stadiums are such a part of the story for baseball, is that you're giving that away. But you're right. Maybe you build some really cool stadium in Arizona that starts a new tradition. So, Coase, I'm on board.
There you go. Ahmed, I knew I could count on you, my friend. I knew I could count on you. Ahmed Fareed from NBC Sports. Very nice to help us out here on a Wednesday. Ahmed, please stay safe and healthy. We hope we see you sometime very soon. And we hope we get some sports. And we're all back up and working sometime very soon. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, you guys too. Great talking to you.
All right, there you have it. Ahmed Fareed joining us here. A lot to get to. When we continue, Dibs, we are going to, you know what we're going to do?
I know exactly
recap
what we're doing.
Ahmed.
We're going to recap down. The Ahmed Fareed interview.
I have thoughts, too, so we'll go ahead and tease that.
When we continue
and?
With Dan Dibley's thoughts. And
come on, Jimmy, stack it. Stack
maybe we'll get cheese. Some football going. We will get some football going, Lowe. Some interesting stuff coming from Peter King. That's all straight ahead. Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs, starring Jim Cosimore.
Bang, bang, Niner gang.
On 95.7 The Game.
This segment is presented by Golden State Lumber, open 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, with some locations open on Saturday. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for more information. Hi, everybody. It is Wednesday. We are rolling along here on Joe Low and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. You can always join us, 888-957-9570. That's also our text line, 888-957-9570. That's right, one number, no waiting. You can jump online. If you're a traditionalist, are you going to be bothered if Major League Baseball makes any changes? I'm not. I like change. You know, I used to be. It got, you know what's so funny, Lo? I used to be the guy, Ahmed Farid, who we just heard from. I used to be that guy. Everything was traditional. You can't change anything in Major League Baseball. It's got to be this way. Now, I throw caution to the wind. If you want to try something new, let's try something new. You want to go three balls and two strikes? You want to, you know, shorten the season? You want to lengthen the World Series? Lo, don't we have to be open to new ideas at all times?
We do. And I think we as a people, we got to continue to push that, you know, to continue to expand ourselves. And especially when you're in a business to make money. I know baseball is fun and exciting. I get that. But also they want to make money. And that 9-game series, I know it sounds weird. I was thinking, man, that's a lot of games. It is. But if you had an opportunity to help create a more of a groundswell with baseball, why wouldn't you not really, really consider it? To be at a location for 1 week, everyone goes to the Super Bowl, they go for that week, people are there, you can get three games in, the best of three, and you could have a location that now it's an event. People are coming for an event, they're there for that week. You can have hotels just like you do at the Super Bowl. I mean, when you were saying it, I was laying it out, I was like, that sounds crazy. But in all actuality, it would create more of a buzz for baseball. It would get more people wondering what people are doing in town. What's the event? What's going on that local town? So you would create more buzz. I think that it could help baseball grow tremendously with that type of format that you were talking about.
Hey, Dib, shouldn't we be looking at this as a laboratory? This is a crazy year for any of us on any level. Whether it's our jobs we're doing right now, whether it's pro sports, anything that's going on has been thrown into a state of flux. Should Major League Baseball specifically, the one sport that has been slowed by its tradition, some would argue, that they should use this time as a laboratory. The owners and the Players Association should get together, kick around as many different ideas for the finish of the season and say, we're instead of trying something new in the minor leagues and seeing how it works there, let's use this as a laboratory, do some new things, understanding not all of them are going to work, and let's see if we can maybe use this as a springboard to affect some positive change within the game.
No, Jim, they should just leave it alone, quite frankly, because when you look at, let's just go, if you and I can just take a quick trip down memory lane and look at what baseball's done from a change standpoint, and you tell me how you feel about it. For one, we now have an unenforced pitch clock to try to speed up baseball, and what we've learned is it doesn't, in fact, speed up baseball. We've injected instant replay into the proceedings, so now we have umpires gathering behind home plate with a couple of them wearing headsets so they can cogitate over a call, and then they don't always get the call right. So, you know, we have instant replay, but it didn't really fix the problem of umpire mistakes, and it's only added more time to the game. So what we've seen from baseball is that they don't know how to make the appropriate fixes, the fixes that people want, such as doing away with the stupid unwritten rules, let players actually celebrate. Embrace the social media era and allow fans to engage with your content of their own volition. Adding in the rule, or enforcing the rule rather, about the batter stepping out of the batter's box on each and every pitch. If you just enforce what's already in place from a baseball rule standpoint and a structure, you can improve the game quickly and easily and internally.
You know, we had Rob Nen on yesterday. And he talked about, you know, and again, he's not an old man, all right? He's not an old man. And he talked about, well, you know, maybe the bat flipping, it's for the young guys. It's not something that he was involved in. You know, Lorenzo, the National Football League loosened the rules on celebration for players, allowing them to have, you know, unified you know, it's almost like guys practice their celebration when they score a touchdown. You got guys rowing boats. You got guys, do they have them rolling dice? What else are they doing?
Right.
You got guys. And
you name it, they're doing it.
Yeah, and the NFL is pretty tight as a league. Is it okay to have a pitcher pump his fist when he gets a big strikeout? Is it okay for a batter to flip the bat when he hits a bomb into the bay over at 3rd and King?
I think it is, and I think that when you look at the intent, and to all due respect to play, be fair and balanced, he came on the show and he said, I don't think it's disrespect. He said, but it seems like you're showing up the player. And he was like, I could be old, but you know what? That's what it feels like. He didn't say it was. And I think that you get to see now in football, now there's plays when you're trying to show someone up. I get that. And I think we know what that is. But when a team gets in there and they do the rowing of the boat or, you know, bowling and they act like they got the guys are pins and everyone falls down. No, that's simple, easy stuff. If you can flip a bat or do something like that in the fans, because if you're about entertainment, aren't you being entertained? And I think just the way that people perceive it sometimes now, you know, the old guard, and a lot of these, even though you say, man, young people don't even like, because a lot of the younger people are saying, oh, that's just what I've been told. And so they're thinking that they hate something because they've been told that. You know what I'm saying, Coles and Dibs? A lot of times, because people tell you, that's that, you think, oh, that's that. And it's not necessarily true. And
I
so
get that.
I think that people got to realize that, and baseball has to realize that they do need to think about some of those things and make things loosen things up in order to grow the sport and make it seem more cooler and more entertaining.
Well, it's interesting because in the pro sports realm, when you have a rookie walking into the locker room, how is he treated if he keeps his head down, puts his stuff in there, gets his pads on, goes out to the field, and starts hitting versus the guy that comes in with a bunch of swagger, the guy that's got all the chains, the guy that's, you know, garnering the attention. He finds his way towards the cameras more often, and it's a rookie, low, and your veterans are sitting there. How are those two scenarios played out? Does one gain a little bit more respect early versus the other?
Oh, without a quite no doubt, Jim, the guy who's got his head down and just does his job and goes out there and hits guys and does stuff, he gets respect of the team instantly. Dornier, the guy that goes out and is, you know, flashy, you know, and still plays well, though, you don't like it because he's upstaging and trying to do too much. He hadn't put in his time yet, and he's young. But guess what? After a while, you might not had liked it. But once he proves himself, you like it. Did you become, okay, do you prime time? Deion Sanders, if you're on another team, you hated it. But guys in that locker and guys that see it, it's certain guys that have a certain bravado. Now, if you're a hung tooth, Jim, don't make a mistake. If you're a hung tooth and you're there just for a cup of water and you see guys doing that, those guys, people look at them like, ah, you're hot air. And it doesn't hold any merit. You know what I mean? But guys that are certain, got that certain swag, and they make things happen, you're like, okay, go ahead, boy, do what you need to do.
Yeah, I've been very clear about this. If I did anything positive on a football field, when I did, I would be celebrating until I passed out because I think it's so difficult to do something well on a football field because it is such a brutal game. So I used to think, oh, what are you getting up there? You made a catch for a first down and you're standing up there and showing me the first. You know what? It's a hell of a thing to make a catch over the middle with two guys breathing down your neck. So go celebrate, my man. You do you. And Dan, I start to feel that way about baseball. I like that Bryce Harper hits a home run and he's, you know, staring it down and watching it go into the bay. It might sting the home team. It might sting the pitcher just a little bit. It might infuriate the visiting fans or whoever it happens to be. But that's part of the drama. Sports are entertainment. It's like going to Broadway, right?
Yes, yes. Although you won't ever see a Broadway actor after he nails a song and dance routine sit there and wave in the middle of the show because that's breaking character. So I'm not sure if the analogy is gonna hold water. It feels a little bit more like a coffee filter take where the water is kind of slowly seeping. It's kind of slowly dripping through.
Wow.
It's let's go ahead and write that one down, Steve, for when Joe comes back. Oh, coffee filter take. It doesn't hold water. It temporarily does, but there's going to be some seepage. Jim, I think that a greater point would be realizing that how can you have an athletic endeavor where you want people to succeed, you want people to do well, and then we tell these individuals, go out there, do your best, strike out the batter, hit a home run, but whatever you do, don't celebrate that. That is a ludicrous notion.
Exactly. Go ahead, Lowen.
No,
You're legal? No.
Get legal, baby.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, radio.com sports station. Joe Lowen Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Jim Cozumel in for Joe Fortenbaugh, who is off all this week. He is back on Monday. Low, go ahead. You have the floor.
Yeah, it's interesting. You go to a game to cheer and to root your team on. You go to an event, watch your kids play a sporting event, go to a spelling bee. If they spell the word, you cheer, you root them on. When you're at sporting events and doing those things and things are happening in that moment, you're cheering. But now you're asking the people that you're cheering, those same people that you're cheering for, you don't want them to be a part of their exuberance. And that's the thing that players have to realize. Guys are still human. They're excited. They're excited for their teammates. And if guys want a high five and, man, I just got a double and I'm pumping my fist. It's not. And people just think, oh, you got to act. Because those were the rules. Baseball was intended to be just, America's pastime. But things have changed. And people have to realize, man, when you get with and you play with that energy and that bravado, it becomes infectious. And it rubs off on guys. And guys are now, they're getting pumped up. They're getting jacked up. When you swing the bat, before you swing the bat, you're not doing all that stuff and doing the house call. After the action's done, then when you're running, after you know you're there, you're cheering. You're giving it up. But when you got the bat, and right before you bat, very before you swing, you don't do all the dancing and stuff because you're still a part of the process.
Yeah,
so after the home runs, run, after the double, it is like when Dibbs is talking about the play, and I don't know if it was a coffee take because after the play, yes, he takes a bow.
Right.
After a set, he runs off and he nods. Like,
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.